Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 24th, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, introduction to geotagging. Now, wait, don't go running away from the speakers here, or don't take off your headphones. Geotagging, it is an ugly word. It is right up there with workflow and all those other, you know, kind of just like, ooh, I don't want to do that kind of words, data, stuff like that. But, you know, actually, geotagging in photography, very fun stuff. And what my goal is today is not to teach you everything there is to know about geotagging, but to introduce you to it and to hopefully get you a little excited about it. And then, as we go on through this journey of ours, you know, we'll talk more about the details. And in fact, I have to tell you, I have a lot of stuff published on the Digital Story right now around all of this. So you have waiting for you, if I do my job today, if I get you excited about this, then you have a lot of stuff waiting for you right now on the Digital Story. All you have to do is search for geotagging, and you'll have a bunch of stories come up. And what I've been doing, if you just go to any one of those stories, I put links to all the related stories right there in the same post, so you can just sort of click around based on your interest. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I haven't won you over yet, and I'm already, you know, thinking about all the fun things we're going to do together. So let's go back to square one. Okay, first of all, what is geotagging other than just a, you know, ugly word? Well, quite simply, it's adding location information to your photographs. And this happens in a very specific way. This is one of the things about this endeavor that makes it less than perfect, in my opinion, because the data is actually stored in the XF data. Now we know what this is already. We've talked about this many times. There's two types of metadata that's associated with our photos. And let's say right now, for the sake of simplicity, we'll talk about JPEGs. So you have XF data, which is the stuff that the camera writes normally. So that's the timestamp, the exposure information, you know, the pixel dimensions, you know, all that kind of nuts and bolts stuff. That goes in the XF data, and the camera normally writes that stuff. We can't really get to it, generally speaking. And then there's the IPTC data, and that's the stuff we can get to. Those are the editable fields, I'm not even going to try again because I already three strikes and you're out, and I'm not done with this show yet. And those are the things where we get to put our name and our copyright and, you know, all that good stuff, our website URL, the stuff so that if people find our photo and they like it, they can find us. And that's in the IPTC. So the thing about geotagging is that this location data, which is generally speaking latitude, longitude, sometimes altitude, that's written to the XF part of the file. So right away, you know, you go, okay, you know, like I can't just open up a picture, copy the latitude and longitude from another picture, and then just drop it in, you know, in there in any application such as Photoshop or whatever. No, you can't do that. And right away you go, well, okay, then, you know, what do I have to do? Well, I'll tell you in a second, because I haven't convinced you yet about this. I'm just sort of telling you what it is. What's cool about it is that if you do have this information in your photograph, then there are all sorts of applications that allow people, including yourself, to see exactly where that photograph was taken. So if you're on vacation and you have just like the best lunch you've ever had, and you take a picture of the restaurant, and you are using, you know, geodata kind of thing, either is being written at the time or you do it later on, however, then anyone else that clicks on that restaurant can see exactly where it is, and they can go there, or you know exactly years later when you go back to that town where to go. You don't have to write down the address. You don't have to do all this stuff, because what happens is the geodata that's written to the file, to your picture, then can be interpreted by other applications, and they will tell you the exact street address, the cross streets, obviously the city, the state, the country, all that good stuff. They'll even tell you related points of interest are in within a radius around that place. All this information will just show up automatically in certain applications if you have the geodata for that photo. So it is cool. I mean, it's very cool, because what's happening, people are writing applications that will add all this extra information to your photos. And in fact, it can be part of the photo itself. The points of interest and the cross streets and all that stuff can just become part of the photo file. It just travels with it. So you have this wonderful container that has your picture, all the metadata that we already know and love, and then all of this other location information. And then, you know, that's a pretty complete package. I mean, that is pretty sweet stuff. So if it's so wonderful, why isn't everyone doing it? I mean, why aren't we all just, you know, geo-tagging fools? Well, because we're still kind of early in the show. And I mean the big show. And whenever we see a new technology, you know, starting to get some traction, the early adopters figure things out. They go through the pain. And then over time, you know, it gets easier. And then the rest of us can, you know, enjoy it. And that's kind of where we are with geotagging right now. So there's a couple different ways, though, that you can start playing with this right now to see if you like it, to see if it's useful for you. And then if it is, then you can keep your eye out for new tools that show up that might resonate with you, that might fit into your workflow. And you'll be on the lookout for them, because you've already said, this is a cool thing, I just don't like the tools yet. But as soon as the tools are good, then I'm all there. So I think this is why it's a good time to start talking about it now, so that we all can have it on our radar. And plus, you know, it comes up and people might ask you about all that kind of stuff. So what are some of the ways that you can geotag right now? Well, first of all, you know, when iPhoto 09 came out just recently, those of you that are on a Mac, it has places, that's what Apple calls it, places built right into the application. You can open up a photo, enter the street address, the location for it. It will create the geodata that's associated with that, write it to the file, and then you have that. And then it becomes part of the file, and you can, you know, play with the geotagging right there in iPhoto. But what's really cool about iPhoto is that when you export the image out, if you export it out correctly, if you say include the geodata, then that information is actually written to the file when it goes out to Flickr or your hard drive or wherever else. So iPhoto right away has made it easy for us to play with this, because I think one of the hardest parts is getting the geodata actually written into the XF part of the file. And iPhoto now has made that easy. You can just open up the photo, you can it'll tag it for you, and then you can export it out or play with it in iPhoto. So right away, iPhoto is, I would say, probably one of the easiest ways to start playing with this new functionality. And if you have iPhoto, or if you're an iPhoto user, then take a look at places in iPhoto 09, is just introduced. And if you're not an iPhoto regular user, if it's not part of your normal workflow, but you have it and you like it, I would still take a look at it, because you can learn a lot. And even if you're an Aperture user, remember iPhoto and Aperture get along very well. So you can still be an Aperture user and play with some of your stuff in iPhoto. So iPhoto, I would say right now, is iPhoto 09 is one of the easiest ways to get going with geotagging. Now, there's another device out there that I've been playing with, and I just wrote the first piece about it, and it's called the iFi Explorer. And what this is this is a little SD card that has 2 gigabytes of storage on it. Looks just like any other XD card other than it's orange. Not a whole lot of XD cards out there are orange. SD cards are orange. SD standing for Secure Digital. But what's interesting about it is made by this company, iFi, and it has Wi-Fi capability built into the card. In other words, the card, when put into your camera, lets your camera communicate with Wi-Fi networks, hotspots at home, wayport, hotspots on the road, all that kind of stuff. So, that's been around for a while, but they came out with a flavor called the Explorer, Wi-Fi Explorer, that adds one step to it. And when you're uploading your images via Wi-Fi, via this card, to your computer or to Flickr or wherever you're sending them, it will consult the database, the Skyhook database. And Skyhook, they're interesting folks. What they've done, they've basically gone around to all the access points, all the Wi-Fi hotspots in the U.S. that they could get their hands on, and actually log the geodata for each one of those access points. So they said, this access point here in San Francisco has, this latitude and this longitude. So so iFi knows that, right? So when you are at that spot, you take a picture, and the camera starts uploading the picture, that latitude and longitude is known thanks to the Skyhook database. And so on its way, the picture on its way, it makes a little stop and gets the geodata based on that access point, and then it writes it to the file, and then it sends it along. Now, this is pretty interesting stuff. It's not perfect. For instance, when I was testing it, I had a very interesting thing happen. I used to have my studio about a block away. I was renting, and I got tired of just, renting. And I found this other place about, where I am now, and I could actually afford to buy it so that I'm paying me instead of a landlord. So I moved, and I moved my, my wireless network and everything over here. Well, Skyhook had actually identified my access point before, but it hadn't updated the database when I moved. So, I was shooting around the studio here, and all my images were geotagged with the iFi Explorer a block away at my old place. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So what you can do is you can actually go to the Skyhook website and update your access point. You enter the MAC address for your access point, and then you enter the new location, and then supposedly it updates. Now, I did that over a week ago, and the database still hasn't been updated, so I'm not sure how long it takes them to do it. I'll do a blog post when it actually happens, but in theory, supposedly you can update these things. So the iFi Explorer is pretty interesting. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you can get these cards for about $105 right now. And I think the story that I did on the site has a link to Amazon where you can get it. But you can start playing with geotagging. It's also fun to be uploading your files wirelessly. It doesn't work with RAW. It only works with JPEGs. So when I was doing my test, I shot RAW plus JPEG. So the JPEGs went up to both Flickr and to a computer I had set up via the iFi, and were geotagged. And the RAWs stayed on the card, and then I pulled them off later, and they weren't geotagged. So, that's part of the deal there. But you can shoot RAW plus JPEG and have the JPEGs tagged. And it's pretty interesting. it's not going to do you any good. The iFi Explorer is not going to do you any good out in the middle of the wilderness where there's no hotspots. So if they're not a McDonald's or whatever out there in the middle of the wilderness, you're probably not going to get any geo information. So it's limited, but it is fun, and when it works great. So that's another kind of thing to play with that's moderate cost. Now, another route you can go is to actually get a GPS unit that logs the data while you're shooting. And then, so it has its timestamp, and then, you know, your photos have their timestamp. And if you have your camera in sync with whatever this device is that you're using, then you can come back to your computer, you can upload the logging data off the GPS unit, and you can upload your photos, and then you can use software to merge them all together and to write the geo data to each photo. Now, it adds an extra step to your workflow, right? So if your workflow is normally, you know, take the memory card out of your camera, put it in the memory card reader, launch Aperture, for example, upload all your photos to Aperture, and then go about your business, you have to do an in-between step, which would be, you know, connect the memory card to your computer, make sure that they get geotagged, then take that information and put it into Aperture or whatever you do. So it adds an extra step. But what's interesting is that this is a fairly accurate way to go about geotagging stuff, and you can do it anywhere as long as, depending on your GPS unit, certainly anywhere that you have a clear view of the sky. And depending on how sensitive your GPS unit is, you could even do it indoors and so forth, and it could still get that geo information. Now, the one that I've been playing with, so I talked to some photographers, and they go, well, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to spend all this. And I go, you know what, my audience just really isn't going to go for a $1,500 solution as their introduction to geotagging. I have a hard enough time selling them on this already. $1,500 is not going to sweeten the pot. They can go out and buy, you know, like a couple great lenses for that amount. So I looked at everything, and I decided to try the Jobo Photo GPS. And it's a little black unit that slides into the hot shoe of your camera, for your cameras that have hot shoes. You can use it without sliding into the hot shoe. I like it best when you put it into the hot shoe, because every time you take a picture, you know, then there's a little, you know, charge of electricity through the hot shoe, and the Jobo knows you took a picture right then, and so it makes sure it grabs the geo data. And then it has really nice software for hooking everything up when you get back to your hotel or your house or wherever. And they have both a Mac version and a Windows version of the software. So regardless of which platform you're on, you can use this thing. And the Photo GPS by Jobo, the software that comes with it, it's one of those softwares that adds a lot of information. So not only does it add the latitude and longitude to each photo, it also adds the altitude. It adds the street and the state and the city. It adds points of interest. It adds all sorts of information to the photo itself. So by the time the software is done with your pictures, you've got a lot of info in there, and it works fairly well. It's generally speaking, it's accurate to 10 meters at the worst, 30 feet. A lot of times it's more accurate than that. It does have, I've tested it quite a bit. It does have its moments where it doesn't update. So it will add information from a picture that I took 5 minutes ago. That didn't happen too often, but it did happen every now and then. And I've learned there's a little button on the right side that I really didn't figure out what it was for before. But so what I do when I know I'm going to shoot, you push that button and it sort of fires it up and says, hey, wake up, you know, we're going to take a picture now. When I do that, then my results got very accurate. So that was that, you know, that alert button comes in really handy. And you can use that same button if your camera doesn't have a hot shoe. You can just press that button, you know, when you take the picture with your camera, and then hook the two up. And it worked really well. So I practice it with my iPhone, you know, my first generation iPhone, which doesn't have GPS in it. I use the Photo GPS by Jobo, and it worked. It matched up nicely. And by the way, so it's about $175. And so that's not cheap, I know, but it's a lot better, believe me, than $1,500. And it works really well, and you can use it with all of your cameras. And I've written about that on the site, too. So you can go check that out on the Digital Story. Now, speaking of the iPhone, the new iPhone, the iPhone 3G, also adds geodata to any picture that you take with the iPhone. So if you're carrying around a current iPhone, an iPhone 3G, you have a camera that can record geodata when you take pictures. And so you're in the game. You can just start playing right now. What a lot of people don't know, especially people that have Macs with iPhones, is that there's a little application on your Mac. It comes on every Mac called Image Capture. And it's really the best way, I think, to get photos off an iPhone. You just plug your iPhone into your Mac, launch Image Capture. You'll find it there in your applications folder. You can just download the pictures you want. You get the full resolution shots, and you get all the metadata. So you can do that, and then you could dump those pictures into iPhoto. You can use iPhoto, by the way, to download from an iPhone too. Or you could dump it into other applications, and they're geotagged. So if you're walking around with the iPhone 3G, you have a camera that can write geodata right now. So that's kind of cool. So, but you're probably thinking, well, why aren't there more cameras that can do this if this is such a great thing? And, you know, that's very interesting that there aren't more cameras. I'm getting ready to go to PMA here in about a week, and I'm not seeing, I thought that we would hear announcements about more cameras that would just write the geodata. They would have GPS built into them, and they would write the geodata right when you took the picture. But I'm not hearing a lot of announcements to that effect. I sort of feel like the camera manufacturers are either behind, or they've taken the pulse of the photography community, and you know, they've got cold results for this geotagging stuff. Obviously, they haven't listened to my podcast yet. Now, there is one camera, the Nikon P6000, that does have GPS built into it. But, you know, quite honestly, it doesn't look like it's that great. It takes a long time to fire up. It really drains the battery. It's way too early. So, you know, it's interesting. If you want a camera that's going to write the data for you, we're a little ahead of the curve right now. They're just not there yet, and at least nothing that I can recommend. So you have one of these other solutions to play with. And one is, of course, iPhoto 09 using Places. Another one is the iFi Explorer card. And another one is some GPS device that works with your camera. And the one that I've been testing is the Jobo Photo GPS. So those are three things, you know, to look at to help you get your feet wet. I'm going to continue reporting on this because I think this is a big deal, and I think it's going to get more and more interesting here over the next year. So that's my introduction. I hope I've piqued your interest just a little bit, and maybe you'll go and take a look at some of the articles on the Digital Story about this, or start playing with it on your own. And we'll keep talking about it. Certainly, if you have feedback, send it to me, and we'll keep this conversation going. So, okay, geotagging. We've broken the ice, and we'll see what happens over the next 12 months or so. Street Shot is this month's photo assignment for February. And, get out there. I know this is not the ideal time of year to be out street shooting, which is why I thought we might get some interesting shots. So you have till the end of February to get your shot in. Grab shots. Make sure that if you find something that's good, that you send it to me, and hopefully I'll get it published for you. And then I want to talk just briefly about our sponsors. We have great sponsors. We have Boinks Software, the makers of Photomagico and Boinks TV for the Mac. SiteGrinder, which works as a plugin, as a Photoshop plugin, both for Photoshop Regular and for Photoshop Elements. SiteGrinder works on both Mac and Windows and allows you to build beautiful websites from things that you design in Photoshop. And Red River Paper Company, And I tell you, these guys make great paper, and it's affordable. It costs less than the other guys, and it's just as good. And they have a new offer. So we actually changed the tile on the digital story to their new offer. They got a free shipping offer, and they redesigned our landing page, you know, our digital story landing page on their site. So go over there and check it out. Click on the new tile and see what they're up to. Three great sponsors. I'm really happy to have them, and so should you, because it keeps us all in business here. Okay, well, that's going to do it for this week. I hope I've you know, warmed the waters a little bit for you on this ugly word geotagging thing. And I'm off to lynda.com, and I'm going to do some movie making this week. And then after that, I'm off to PMA, so there should be lots of good stuff to report. I'll meet you back here next week. Till then, have a great week. Go take some pictures, and I'll see you in a bit. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.